chapter 48, in our Likudim runs, it's page 63, left-hand column, about a third way down the page. We did the first half, or I'd say the first third, last week, and hopefully we're going to finish up the remainder tonight, in Mitzvah Shem. Rabbeinu Zal said that when a person first starts becoming frum, or when a person first starts making a new beginning in frumkeit, the nature is that Hashem shows the person his rachkus. Hashem makes it seem to the person as if Hashem is ignoring him, as if Hashem doesn't want him, that kind of thing. Hashem pushes him away. And Rabbeinu Zal warns that this is only make-believe. This is only the way it's being made to look for specific reasons that Hashem has in making it look this way. However, the person should know not to let this get in his way at all, not to let this bother him in any way. And really, this hisrachkus is actually his karvus. This pushing away is actually a way of bringing a person close. And Rabbeinu Zal said that this happened to all the tzaddikim. Anybody that wanted to go to any high point in religion, in frumkeit, experienced this type of thing. They went through ups and downs, and during the downs, it seemed to them very, very much as if Hashem was uninterested in them, etc., etc. And it takes a tremendous hischaskus. A person has to strengthen himself very, very much and re-strengthen in order to hang in there at times like this and to be able to weather the storm until a person is able to see some light in terms of their advancement in coming close to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal made the final comment that Rabbeinu Zal made in this paragraph was that as soon as a person starts coming close to Hashem, then especially, it's a very, very big sin for the person to be sad or depressed whatsoever, because depression can do tremendous damage. These were Rabbeinu Zal's words. We're going to start from the words V'tzorich lihiyos.
Why would a person get depressed and sad if he's starting to come close to Hashem, starting to feel coming close to Hashem?
The answer is because we're talking about a situation where a person is putting in a lot of effort in trying to come close to Hashem, and it appears to the person as if he's not gaining anything. He's not moving anyway. He's not advancing. In other words, he starts being better and better, and it looks to him like he left behind a lot of the mishigas and a lot of the insanity and bad things that he used to be doing, and then suddenly he experiences a fall, or suddenly he starts looking at how much there is to do yet, how little he has accomplished in comparison, in ratio to what there is to be done, and it starts looking to him like as if he's getting nowhere. And that's a saddening thought to the person. That's what's depressing. And this can happen to a person. There's billions of ways that the Satan sets up scenarios to make it look to a person as if he's getting nowhere, as if he has accomplished nothing up until this point, and as if there's no hope for him, that no matter what he's going to do, it's no use.
What happens, first of all, it seems that people who are not close to Hashem get exactly the same treatment, so how is a person to know that he's different? That, what about cases where you see people who are up from, who try to do everything they can, and they end up not in any good way? You know, you see people like that, they end up, you know, broken and lost. And
when you ask two questions, how do you...
I'm asking two questions.
Ask one at a time.
Okay, the second one is more important.
Go ahead.
I mean, if you're supposed to be so hopeful and all this, how do you understand the fact that there are people walking around that are literally corpses that have... You see that even they're trying to hold on to whatever they can, but obviously somewhere the plug has been pulled on them, and they're either totally sunk already, or they're not coming back.
So what's the question?
The question is, like, how could you get chizchaskus from words like this when you see evidence to the contrary?
You see evidence that what?
That Hashem apparently gives up hope on some people.
The answer is, Rabbeinu Zal saying here very clearly that if it ever seems that Hashem is pushing away a person, should know that that's definitely not true. It's a mirage. It's fake. It's make-believe. It's being made to look that way. And that's part of a person's test in coming close to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal gave some examples and is going to give some additional examples. And we ourselves have given examples in the past. We quoted stories that took place where a person was very sick. The Navi tells a story of a general, Naamah, who was very, very sick. he had leprosy all over his entire body, and he was looking for a cure. And a Navi gave him advice, he gave him an Eitzah, he told him, dip yourself Tovel in this river, and you'll be all better. And the Navi says, he told him, Tovel 7 times in this river, you'll be all better. He Toveled once. So first of all, the minute he heard this, it sounded ludicrous to him, it sounded like a ridiculous Eitzah, because he said, I have already dipped myself in the spiciest rivers of Damascus, you know, and all kinds of health baths and everything, and it did nothing for me. Now I made this trip, I exerted myself to travel miles and miles to come to this tzaddik. They said there's a tzaddik here, Elisha Novi, who's going to help me, and this is how he's going to help me? I thought he'll teach me something or he'll say some magic word. This is his advice, go dip in the river. I had to come to him to tell me to take a bath when I've already taken fantastic baths. That was turn off number one. Turn off number two, his servant that was with him told him, you came this far, don't be an idiot, try it out. And if he's telling you to dip in the river, then it's not the river that's going to help you, it's his telling you to dip in the river that's going to help you. The Navi says that he went down once, twice, 3 times, 6 times, and nothing happened. Zero. And had he pulled away, had he been rational or logical at that point, he would have stopped and said, what kind of stupidity is this? If I went down 6 out of 7 times already and nothing happened, obviously this is not something that can help me. Obviously I'm getting nowhere. I'm wasting my time and I'm being made to look like a fool, and I don't want to take this joke out as far as it can go. I'm going to stop the joke right here. And instead he was zeichet to have the seichel to continue to the finish line, and he learned the lesson that all of us have to learn, that when it comes to Kiddusha, it's the last patch that counts. It's the final, the grand finale. That's where you get to see, that's the only time that you get to see who the winner is, who the loser is. It's only by the last, the final goal. And we have the same story, the Maisa Mimorar that Rabbeinu Zal told. Rabbeinu Zal told a parable about a German and a Yid who were in the army, and a whole set of circumstances that took place where the last straw was being given Moror to eat. And 99%, 99.9% of people at that point give up, walk away. And it's that one small percentage of people that have the seichel, that when they see that Hashem is giving them maror to eat, they know that Hashem, the Pasuk says, Toiv Hashem lakoil v'rachmov al kol maso, that Hashem is only good and Hashem is only kind, and if I'm being given bitterness, there's a reason for it. And if the Torah says that when you're given bitterness, you're going to see that it's only going to be for a short time, and in the end you're going to see that it's very sweet, the Gemara says in Psochim that by the Goyim it's Tchilos on Rach v'Seif on Kosher. By the Goyim the beginning is fun and games and the end is bitterness and sadness. The Gemara says by the Yidden it's the opposite. The beginning is bitterness and sadness, the end is a very happy one. So that the Torah, which is the spokesman for Hashem, is telling us very, very clearly that this is Hashem's modus operandi. This is Hashem's MO. This is how he handles things. So if you see that you're going through, you're trying to be religious, you're trying to make a new start, and you're going through pain, suffering, this, that, and everything, that's normal. Hang in there, do your best, and you're going to see that there is going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. How do you define the end of the tunnel? That's the mystery. That's the one thing that we're not given a definition for. For one person, the end of the tunnel is a week. For another person, it's a year. For another person, he goes through 4,000 end of the tunnels. In other words, there's an end of the tunnel within the day, within the week, within the month, within the year, within the lifetime. And Rabbeinu Zal says there are certain people who work throughout their life, and they are not privileged to be able to see during their physical lifetime the results of what they've done. And still, they have to believe, or we must believe in the Torah, that if Hashem says that if you do this, this, and this, things are going to be very, very good for you, then we take it on Hashem's word. We're willing to accept that 100%, and I'm willing to wait for the next world to really get to see the schar, because the fact is that no matter what, even if a Jew does get to see some degree of success in this world, we know that the Torah testifies that the success, the greatness of the Jewish nation is not going to be visible in this world. It's only if the Mashiach comes or an Olam Haba that the truth is going to come out. That this world is not for us, it's for them. So that the concept of success in this world is made much more to look like it's by the Goyim or by the non-religious Jews, etc., etc., than by the religious Jews or by the Tzaddikim. And this is part of the test of being religious or being a Tzaddik or trying to be a Tzaddik. Does that answer the question?
Yes and no. I mean, it does, yes, but in the sense that you see Breslovers who are 50 years old and their life hasn't even started yet, and they're walking around and after a while their brain begins to go, and where's the level of Bechira after that? It's on a completely different, you know, scale completely.
What do you mean by their life hasn't started yet?
I mean, they've gone through certain misfortunes, people died in their lives, and they went off the rocker a little bit, and now they're... They walk on a course. How does that fit in?
A lot of the suffering that takes place in this world that each individual Jew goes through, that's something that we can definitely not understand within this world. We're not given the tools, we don't have the mental capacity to be able to understand it, because many Sforim, including Rabbeinu Zal Sforim, write that a lot of this is based on the Soid HaGilgul, meaning our scope is very limited. At most, or at best, we're in a position to know what a person has done within this physical lifetime. And to us it looks like, what could he possibly have done to deserve this, or to warrant this, or to justify this? Where's the justice in Hashem dealing with this person in this way? But Hashem is the only one who has the total picture. And Hashem knows exactly what a person has done so far in all their lifetimes, and exactly why a person is going through what they're going through at this point in time, and what the good that's coming out of this is. Because a person asks, what benefit is it to Hashem to see me suffer? How does Hashem gain? How does Hashem get any kavod in our suffering? And the answer is, this topic, there's a lot to say about it. We once had a shiur where we discussed a certain section of Likutei Halachos. This was on one of the earlier Torahs in Likutei Moran. I believe it was in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, Torah Samach Zion, somewhere around there, where Rabbeinu Zal discussed the topic of Kavod. And it's on this chapter in Likutei Moran that in the Likutei Halachos, Rabbi Nosson Zal goes into a whole discussion explaining the secret as to why it is that on certain dates that the Zohar HaKadosh declared that these were dates when Mashiach was supposed to come, those were dates when tremendous catastrophes happened to the Jewish nation. What's the association between the two, etc.? And check in that shiur, you'll see there's a lot of answers to this question specifically in terms of what's accomplished when the Jews experience a catastrophe. If possible, let's start and continue this next section of the Torah, and I'm sure it's going to clarify some things, and whatever else needs clarification, we'll be glad to discuss. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'tzorich lihiyos action godel ba'avodas Hashem." A person has to be very, very stubborn in serving Hashem. Livli lohaniach es mekoymoi, not to leave his place, not to give up any ground. And Rav Nosson Zal, in Kutei Halachos, when he discusses the word action, I came across something there that's so real. And it's so good in describing this, because Rachmana Litzlan, some people have children where they get to see what the definition of the word action means. Action means stubborn, but it means a certain type of stubbornness where the person knows that it's not helping them at all. You have a kid who's capable mitzad stubbornness of banging his head in the wall, smashing his head in the wall for 20 minutes in anger, in a fit of anger, in a fit of stubbornness, not wanting to do something, told to do something, not doing it, or throwing a tantrum where he'll hurt himself. He'll either physically hurt himself, or he knows that this is going to draw physical punishment. It's 100% positive to him. And there's no rationale whatsoever, there's no logical justification as to why he should be doing this at all. Logically, it's totally irrational, and he's doing it anyway because he has this problem called akshonus, stubbornness. It's an irrational type of stubbornness that makes no sense, no justification. He just knows he wants to do this and nothing is going to stop him, period. You can hit him, bat him over there. If you don't do this, I'm going to... Nothing. Not only that, some kids themselves, you won't even hit him. He'll hit himself. He'll bang his head in the wall. He'll kick, you know, and he'll hurt himself. And the stubbornness is such that it's able to carry him through these motions. Rav Nosson Zal says that's the term that Rabbeinu Zal's using regarding Avodas Hashem, that there are some times that a person has to be able to act in that irrational, where based on all the effort, a person is looking to make an investment in a stock. You put some money into it, you make some bucks, then it goes down, you lose a certain amount of money. You study the whole situation, you figure out, I know why I lost bucks, I'm going to put, now that things have changed, I'm going to invest some more dollars into this, now it's going to go up. Again it goes down. It happens 5-10 times. If the person is semi-normal, all right, now I'm not interested in the explanation anymore. I saw that after all my chachmas, it went down, I'm finished. You know, I'm not interested. What, you can prove it to me on paper, it's going to succeed. Zero. I had enough. Because it's been shown to me past any shadow of a doubt that this is not it. Lahavdil, when it comes to serving Hashem, if a person were put in that identical situation where he's tried and tried and tried and tried again and again and nothing worked, Rabbeinu Zal saying, Tzorech lihiyos action godoil. This is where at times a person is put to such a test where it requires only akshonus. Only with akshonus will he succeed. Only if he's capable of negating any rationale, saying, I don't care what it looks like, I don't care how much it appears to me that Hashem is not interested in me at all, that I'm accomplishing nothing, that I'm getting nowhere, doesn't bother me, I'm going to close my eyes, I'm going to act like a maniac, no rationale at all, and I'm going to keep trying to come close to Hashem. Not to give up his ground, any ground that he has already attained, not to give up any level that he's already achieved. The small percentage or the small portion of serving Hashem that the person has already achieved, no matter what happens to the person, to see to it not to retreat at all, not to go back, not to give up any ground. Rabbeinu Zal says, remember this very, very well. You're going to need this very, very much. When you're going to make a little start in serving Hashem and wanting to come close to Hashem. Now here again, Rabbeinu Zal is not leaving anything to the imagination. This is a pro who's talking, and he said before, we had in last week's shiur, Rabbeinu Zal said he interviewed many tzaddikim, and all of them testified that this is what they went through, that they went through tremendous downs, that there were a lot of times when they felt they were trying and trying and getting nowhere, and had they not been able to be mechazik themselves tremendously, and to be extremely stubborn in persisting, in not giving up, they would have been lost completely. They never would have gotten to where they ended up getting to. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki tzorich akshonus godol ma'oid ma'oid. It requires very, very great stubbornness. Lihiyos chozok v'amitz. To be very strong and tough. Lechoiz atzmoid. To hold on to yourself. Lamoid alamdoi. And to stand your ground. To stand in your place. Even if every single time they try to knock him down, Hashem, the Malachim, try to knock the person down, try to push the person down, Rabbeinu Zal says, because at times we know that there is such a possibility that from heaven they take the person and they knock him down, they floor him, they wipe him out completely. And we've discussed this in the past, in previous chapters in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal said that, again, this is one of the procedures in Shamayim, that at times, we know that the whole purpose of Hashem creating the world was Bechira, free choice, so that a Jew should be put in a position where he has good and bad in front of him, and he's in a position to do either one, and if he makes the right decision, he does the right thing, there's Gan Eden, and the Gan Eden is earned. It's not freebie, you worked for it, you earned it, it's a total pleasure. Rabbi Nizal says, quoting other Sforim, that there are times when Hashem takes away the person's Bechira completely, Hashem gives the Satan a free go-ahead, wipe him out. Knock him down. I want to see him fall. For what purpose? Is he going to get punished for the fact that he got knocked down? No. He didn't have a choice in the matter at all. It wasn't a fair fight. Hashem took away the padding. He took the padding out of the Satan's gloves, and he's hitting with steel bolts, period. So one punch, you're down on the floor. If so, what's the purpose of the fight? What's entertaining about this fight? The amusement is only going to be in seeing whether the person is stubborn enough, whether the person is real enough to be willing to get up and start again. Just as we have one of the clear examples, the Gemara tells the story of Acher, Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, who was one of the Tanoim in the Gemara, a very, very great tzaddik. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir. And at one point in time, he became an apikiris. A certain thing happened, an incident happened, whereby he became an apikiris. And his student, Rabbi Meir, kept begging him, Rabbi, please do tshuva, please come back. And Rabbi Acher told him, I can't. Why? Because I heard a baskoil from Shemayim that said to me, Shuvu bonim shevavim chutz me'acher. There's a pasuk where Hashem says to Klal Yisrael that anybody that's bad, come back. And when Hashem quoted this pasuk, Hashem said, Chutz me'acher, except Acher. This was his reply. Now, what could Rabbi Meir Balanes have told him at that time? Tosfos says, what should Acher have done? Acher should have ignored Hashem and come back. Because as Rabbi Zal once mentioned from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and again, this is a fantastic vort. You want to hear a vort. There's a Gemara in Brachos where the Gemara says, that kol ma she'yom lecho balabayis asei chutz mitzei. That when a person isn't a guest in somebody else's house, there's a halochin shulchan aruch, that when you're a guest, whatever the host tells you to do, you're required to listen. As long as you're in his four walls and you're under his control, he's the balabayis in this place, he's the one that gives the orders, you're the one that takes the orders. You don't like it? Leave. But while you're in his four walls, you're obligated to comply with his instructions. The Gemara says, chutz, except, there's one exception. If the balabayis tells you to say, get out, you're not required to listen to him. Meaning, if somebody invited you into his house for lunch or for whatever, and then he has a bad dream or he burps or something and he decides he doesn't want you anymore as his guest and he says, get out, you're not obligated to listen. As long as you're fulfilling his initial instructions to you as to how long he invited you, etc., you're not obligated to listen. This is a statement in the Gemara. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, who's the balabayis of the whole world? Hashem. Hashem is the balabayis. Kol ma she'yom lecho balabayis, asei, anything that Hashem tells you, you're required to listen to him. Chutz, except, if Hashem says, tsei, get out, if Hashem says, get out, get away, that's the one case where you're not required to listen to Hashem at all. You're supposed to ignore Hashem. Anytime Hashem appears to be giving you the sign that he wants you out, that's the case where you're supposed to ignore Hashem completely, ignore all the signs and everything, and be persistent, stick it out, and you'll see you're going to find out that it was a mirage, it was a fake out, it was just a test to see how really sincere is your intent in wanting to come close to Hashem. Because if a person really wants something, he'll work at it and work at it until he gets it. You walk in, I've heard, you know, when I started to get involved a little bit in stucco, so you go to see some businessmen, people that are very wealthy, people that made it. And many of these people didn't make it that somebody handed them $1 million. These are people that worked very, very hard to get to where they are. Naturally, we're not saying it was Kleichi Voitzim Yodi, that it was their might and their brains. Hashem gave it to them. But many, many people, Hashem didn't give it to them easily. And you see some of these people, when they see somebody coming to them, asking them for money, and they see that the person that's coming expects to get 100,000 or 1 million, and the person considers it a cheap item, like you have 10 million or 100 million, what's the big deal in giving me one? the person who has it has much, much more of an appreciation for it than the person coming and asking, because the one who's coming and asking never went through. He has no idea that this person didn't get to where he got by sitting around, that this guy got knocked off his horse 100 times, and it was very difficult climbing up that ladder, and it took incredible akshonas to keep at it and keep coming back until he made it. And it's only if the guy had that stubbornness that he did make it. Now he sees some yo-yo coming in that doesn't have this understanding, that doesn't have a respect for the effort that this person had to put in to get to where he is. That's something that they look down on very much. That's bigashmius. Imagine how much more so baruchnius. A person comes into a tzaddik and they say, oh, he's a big tzaddik, and they don't realize big tzaddik, it didn't come to him b'Yerusha. The Torah does not come to anybody b'Yerusha. Anybody that succeeded in Avodas Hashem had to work very, very hard and went through incredible, incredible struggles, up, down, getting knocked off that horse hundreds, thousands of times. Again, there's a certain respect, a certain acknowledgement that has to be there, a realization in knowing that it didn't come easy and it doesn't come easy, that the true success in this world, the Gemara says, Yogato Motsoso Tamin, that Hashem says that if a person tells you he worked very, very hard and he succeeded, believe him. And if he tells you he succeeded and he didn't work very hard, then his definition of success is inaccurate. He doesn't know what success means. Because success, true success, Hashem says, is something that doesn't come without tremendous diligence, persistence, and effort. And if a person tells you that he worked very, very hard and he didn't succeed, the Gemara says again, don't believe him, because again, his definition of working very hard is obviously not sufficient. Hashem, who knows each and every one of our means much better than we do, Hashem knows what we're capable of much better than we do, and the Gemara says Hashem never presents a person with an impossible test, with something that's too difficult. If Hashem is putting us in the predicament that we're in, we know that we're capable of handling it, and we're required to do the best we can, period. Not more, not less. Rabbi Nizal says, so after mapilan oisei chas v'shom v'chol pam, even if they're knocking the person down constantly, ki lefomim yeish mapilan echod me'avodas Hashem ki yodua, at times from heaven they knock the person down, as is known, afal pikein, still, olov lasei says shaloi, the person is responsible to do his thing, to ignore what's going on and just be persistent, lasei smashiyuchal b'avodas Hashem, to try to do whatever he possibly can in serving Hashem, va'al yaniach atzmoi lipo legamri chas v'shom, and never to allow himself to fall out of the ring completely. Because all of these falls and confusion, chaos, each and every single person must experience this before the person can be zeche to enter into the gates of Kiddusha. V'gam ha-tzadikim ho-amitim ovru b'chol zeh. And even the great tzadikim went through this. The Zohar HaKadosh tells the story of Avram Avinu, who was tokal b'tikla. He went through tremendous bilbulim trying to figure out who's behind this whole creation. And first he thought it was the moon, then he thought it was the sun, and he kept trying and begging that the Creator should reveal himself to him, and for a substantial period of time it didn't happen, until Hashem saw how sincere he was in his quest, and then he had taken it to the limit. Avraham Avinu had done everything he possibly could to find Hashem. At that point, Hashem came to him. Hashem revealed himself to him. Just like we have the concept of Sfira Slamer, that we're obligated to take the first 49 steps towards Hashem. The 50th step, which is the most significant one, that's where Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Hashem says, you show that you were sincere in keeping at it 49 times out of 49 times. You scored. You counted Sfira. You were there. You remembered Hashem. You stuck in the ring. The 50th time, you'll see Hashem will come to you. And that 50th step is much, much bigger than all 49 put together. Rabbeinu Zal says, Veda, and you should know, Sheyesh Echod, there is one category of people, Shekvar Hu Eitzel HaPesach Shel HaKdusha, whereby people within this category, you have the person is at a point where he's already at the doorway of the Kiddusha, meaning he's gotten through all the, he found the right country, he started out in Siberia, he traveled thousands of miles, and he found the country where Hashem is at, Eretz Yisrael. He found the city, Yerushalayim. He found the place, the building, the Beis HaMikdash. And he's standing in the doorway. He's about to go into the Kiddusha. V'hu chayzer l'achayrov. And suddenly he turns back. He walks away. Machmas habilbulim hanal. Because of the chaos that he's experienced, because of the tests that he's going through, and all the bilbulim, he gives up when he has no idea how far he's traveled already. He's passed all the tests, he's finished, he's at the finish line. He's about to cross over the finish line, and he walks away and gives up the whole thing because of the bilbulim. Oy, or she'azai. Another scenario is she'azai kishehu samech la'pesach, that at that point in time when he's at the finish line, he's right at the entrance of the kedusha, he's about to walk into Hashem's arms, like azai miskaber olav hasitra achra, the soton suddenly turns up the heat. Vahabaldovar ma'oid ma'oid rachmon alitzlan behiskabrus godol v'noira ma'oid ma'oid rachmon alitzlan, the satan suddenly goes as big as could be imagined. The satan takes out his whole arsenal and applies everything he's got on this guy at that last minute. V'ein menichno yisei likonis l'toich ha'pesach, and the satan makes it look like there's no way in the world this guy is getting over that finish line, period. And because the person sees this, because he sees this incredible hurricane that suddenly is coming at him, the person turns back and he gives up. Rabbi Nizal says, now what were the two scenarios here? Scenario one was where the person himself has struggled, and with his last ounce of strength, he's at the finish line, all he's got to do is step over, and because he's so tired and worn out, he gives up 1 second too early. That was scenario number one. Scenario number two is where the guy doesn't give up at all. He's struggled, he's dead, beat, he's finished. He's at the finish line, and suddenly the satan comes out, like if he thought that he went through difficulties up until this point, suddenly the satan comes out in a regalia like you never imagined, coming out in such full gear, with such artillery, like the person never imagined he would ever be faced with such a barrage, and that's when the person turns around and gives up. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki chein derech habaldovar vasitrachra. This is the modus operandi of the satan. This is his way of acting. This is his style. Kisheroye sheho odom somuch somuch mamish l'shari hakdusha. When the satan sees that a person is very, very, very close to the gates of holiness, the person is about to be a success in religion. Ukimat sheichnois, he's about to make it in the inner circle of Hashem, to get into the classification of tzaddik. Azai hu mispashet olav behiskabrus kodel ma'oid ma'oid rachmon alitzlan. The Satan goes big, super big. We have the case of Avram Avinu with his son Yitzhak Avinu. Avram Avinu is about to perform the most climactic act that any Jew in the history of the Jewish nation would perform. To take his son, Yitzchak Avinu, whom he was already told by Hashem, he was promised by Hashem, that the whole future of the Jewish nation depended on this kid. Hashem told him, Ki bi Yitzchak yikore lecho zora. From Yitzchak Avinu is going to come forth a nation from you, all the glory conceivable. The next day he gets a telephone from Hashem, cancel that. Take him and kill him. Walk him to this big mountain and kill him. Hashem said, do it. It sounds like the biggest test. This was the 10th test. Of all the tests that Avraham Avinu was going through, there was a series of asoronis, you know, this was the 10th one. Meaning he had already been through the first 9, being thrown into an oven, you know, minor little things, baked, well done, you know, the whole bit, all the different things he went through. This is number 10. and he packs his bags, gets up early in the morning, packs his bags with his 37-year-old baby. This wasn't a toddler he was taking along. This was a 37-year-old kid, Yitzchok Avinu, a tzaddik at that time already in his own right, whom Avraham Avinu is taking along to kill him. And if that's not enough, suddenly the Satan puts himself first. The Medrash is a whole sequence. First, he appeared to him as an incredible mountain that he had to cross over in order to get to this Har Meriah. Climbs up the mountain, down the mountain, then another thing, until the last straw was the Satan made himself into the form of a river that Avraham Avinu had to get through to get to Har Meriah. Avraham Avinu goes into the river, in, until the water's up to his mouth. Now what? You passed 9 out of 10 tests already, finished. The 10th test, you've done everything you possibly can. You spit, chas v'shalom. A logical, rational person would spit and say, I've had it, I'm going back home. Now, stick it. Now there's no sense in my going, you know, I did everything. And if after all of this, this is how difficult it's going to be, then it's not worth, it's crazy. It's just off the wall. At that point, Avraham Avinu didn't turn around. He said the famous kapitel in Tehillim, Hoshieni Elikim ki bo mayim ad nofesh. He said, Hashem, Hashem, I've done everything I can. Now it's another inch, I can't go. The next move, I can't make, otherwise I'm dead, period. Therefore, I'm begging you, please make the move. He waited there. The 2 seconds that it took him to say that sentence, Hoshieni Elikim ki bo mayim ad nofesh, he could have walked out on Hashem, finished. And the whole future, the whole Jewish nation would have been finished, because it's that Akedah that we remind Hashem every Rosh Hashanah. The whole Klal Yisrael, the whole destiny of the Jewish nation depends on Rosh Hashanah, depends on the Shofar, which is a reminder of the Akedah Yitzchak. And it was because he stuck it out, that extra minute, and he waited for the Yeshua of Hashem, the water parted and everything he had passed, that was the Pesach of the Kedusha. That was where he crossed the line, where then Hashem took the Satan, crumpled him up, put him in the garbage can, and now Avraham Avinu made it, classified as a total success, period. You know, mission accomplished. But here again, you see a perfect example of somebody trying to enter into the gate of Kedusha, trying to get a certain mission accomplished in religion, and incredible obstacles and tests and wild things going on, and a persistence and a perseverance without which there's no way in the world he could have succeeded. Rabbi Nizal says, Al Kain, therefore, Tzorich Oz his Chaskus Godel Negdoi. Therefore, it's at that point in time specifically, when a person's about to get to the finish line, that it requires tremendous his Chaskus. V'shamanu mitzadik amiti, we once heard from a true tzaddik, Sha'omar, that he said, She'ilu hoya oimer loy echod, if anybody had said to him, Yia mi she'ia, no matter who it was, if any person would have said to him, Bo'es she'osak b'avodas Hashem b'tchilosoy, when he was first starting out in religion, if anybody would have said these words to him, Ochi chazak ve'echoiz atzmacha, my brother, be strong and hang in there. Don't give up. This tzaddik said, I would have flown, I would have rocketed in serving Hashem if I would have had somebody to tell me that. Because this tzaddik said, I also went through all of these difficulties in coming close to Hashem. And I didn't have anybody to tell me, hang in there. There was nobody at the time to say these words, hang in there. Al Kain, therefore, Rabbi Nizal says, Mi sheroitze lichnois b'avodas Hashem, any person who really wants to enter into serving Hashem, Yizkor zois heitev, should remember what we're saying here very, very well. V'chazak atzmecho ma'oid, and fortify yourself, strengthen yourself very, very much. V'asei ma shetuchal b'avodas Hashem, and do the best you can, do whatever you can in serving Hashem. Not more than you can, but not less than you can. Do whatever you can. Uberevois hayomim vahashonim. And after a period of days, and many years, tichnois lovetach beezrosa yisporach l'techshari akdusha. You will definitely enter into the gates of Kedusha with Hashem's help. Ki Hashem Yisporach Molei Rachmim, because Hashem is full of kindness. Veroitze ba'avoidoscha ma'oid, and Hashem wants your service very, very much. Hashem wants each of us to come close to Him in a very, very big way. V'da, Rabbeinu Zal says, and you should know, shekol hatnuos v'ha'atokos she'ato nitok v'netak b'chol pam eze ma'at min gashmius l'avoidos Yisporach, every tiny little move and turn that a person makes in pulling himself away from sin, in pulling himself away from gashmius towards Hashem, the tiniest move that any of us makes in trying to come close to Hashem, kulam miskaptzim, all of these little moves get together, umischabrim, and they combine, umiskashrim, and they unite, uboim leezrosecho beis hatzorach, and they will come to help you at your time of need. Every tiny little turn that you made towards Hashem, every mitzvah you did, every tiny good thought that you had in wanting to be a good Jew, you're going to see there's going to come a time when all of this is going to get together as a package, and it's going to be there when you need it. It's all going to be right there when you need it. Dehainu, kishayesh chas v'shalom, eze doichek ve'ez tzorah chas v'shalom. When a person has a crisis, rachmon al-tzlan, some type of a serious problem, at that point in time, you'll see that this will all be there for you. V'da, Rabbeinu Zal said, and you should know, and this is a famous statement that Rabbeinu Zal made that was accepted by the Velt. V'da, you should know, she'ho'odom tzorech la'avor al gesher tzar ma'oid ma'oid, that each and every single Jew in this world has to travel across a very narrow, precarious bridge. V'ha'klal v'ho'ikr she'lo yispachid klal. The main thing is not to be afraid. Not to be lacking in courageousness and drive and initiative to say, I'm going to ignore any threat, any obstacle. I'm just headed. I know that I have to get from A to B, point A to point B, and nothing is going to prevent my persistence from getting, wanting to get, from allowing me to get to my goal. Rabbeinu Zal says, Vida, and you should know, Sheyesh Ilon, that there is a certain kind of tree, Shegedelim Olav Alim, that grows leaves, Shekol Ale Tzorech Lihyos Godel Meyashonim, whereby each leaf on this tree, its period, its blossoming period is 100 years. It takes 100 years for this leaf to blossom. V'hunimtza bepardesim shel hasorim, and this tree is found in the gardens of wealthy people, like high officials, people that have very rich gardens. In those days, they used to have this very unusual type of tree. V'koyren oisei b'lashonam meyashonim, and this is called, in Russian, it was called the 100 years. That was the name of the tree. There was a Russian term called 100 years. That was the name given to this tree. Rabbeinu Zal says, umistama, and probably, kishegodel meyashonim, when this leaf is going through a 100-year period of pregnancy, of waiting to blossom forth, bevadai oiver olof masha oiver, you could imagine what passes over this leaf in a period of 100 years, how much a tree goes through in 100 years, how many storms, droughts, all the different variations of weather conditions and world wars and who knows what, political and economical and social and all kinds of situations that go through, that pass over in a 100-year period, v'achakach, and then at the end, b'seif ha'me'ashonim, at the end of the 100 years, hu yoyre b'koil godoil, it blasts forth with a loud bang, kemoikane sreifo shekoiren urmatya, like a cannon. It makes each time a leaf on this tree is finished, it gives a bang, a loud bang, like a cannon. V'hovein hanimshal heitev. And Rabbeinu Zal says, understand the lesson we're trying to teach you from this very, very well. That we know the Torah says, ki ho'odom eitz hasodeh. Hashem says that a human being is compared to a tree. And by a human being, by a Jew, it's the same thing. He goes through periods where there's a lot going on, and yet to the person it appears as if nothing is happening. You picture if a person has not yet seen or learned general science about a woman giving birth to a baby, and suddenly this little child sees mommy starting to get fatter and fatter every day, Mommy's just getting fatter and fatter, and mommy's throwing up every day, 6 times a day, everything she eats, she throws up, and she looks pale and ugly, and the child is saying to him, he's begging Hashem, what did you curse my mother with? What did you do to my mother? Here she was healthy and good and everything, and she's going through the worst, this is the worst thing that possibly could have happened to her in life. And then suddenly, at the end of 273 days, multiply that by 24 hours in a day, picture how long it takes until the baby finally comes out. And again, the grand finale, she went through this whole 9 months with all these sakana, how terrified a woman is during those 9 months, Rachmana Litzlan, she knows she takes one wrong step, Chas V'Shalom. How many stories do we hear of tragedies, Rachmana Litzlan, that took place after carrying 5-6 months, Rachmana Litzlan? She gets to the finish line, and that's when the problem first begins. The giving birth is the climax of the whole sakona. That period she's going through pain and suffering, where if she ever wanted to quit up until that point, there's nothing that would convince a woman to quit. In fact, the Gemara says that the women, there's a special korban that has to be brought, Bizmana Beis HaMikdash, when a woman gave birth, because we know for a fact that a woman swears at that time that she's never going to do this again, she's never going to have children again. That's how incredible the Chevle Leda are, the birth pains, in bringing a new Hailada into the world. Now picture somebody that doesn't know what's being created here, what it means that you're creating a new Jew, a world. Each person is a world. This seems so ridiculous and stupid. All it is suffering for nothing? For what? And Rav Nosson Zal says in Likutei Halachos, the Nimshal is Moshiach. That what we're going through now, Be'ikvus of the Mashiach, this is the birth period. In other words, up until now, up until the 1980s, it was the 9 months. From the beginning of creation until today, it was the 9 months. Now we're at the grand finale, and all the suffering that we see in the world that each and every single Jew is going through, it's part of the Chevle Leda that's needed to give birth to the real Yeshua, the biggest Yeshua that the Jews ever had, which is Moshiach himself. Moshiach and Olam Haba, all the different things. And this is why the Gemara, why does the Gemara say that the Ikvus of the Mashiach, that right before the time of the coming of the Mashiach, things are going to get worse? Where's the logic? Rav Nosson Zal explains, because that's what it is. From the time the world was created until the finish line, it's a birth. We're looking to produce something. What are we looking to produce? The Kavod of Hashem in the biggest form. There's a pregnancy and there's a birth. And the birth itself is actually the most severe and difficult and treacherous and dangerous part of the whole thing. And Rachmona Litzlan, those are the ones who carry the biggest burden of responsibility. Those that are there for the finish line, for the grand finale, where they could push it through so easily. Just a little effort. Don't be a bad boy. Try to do whatever mitzvahs you possibly are capable of doing. Whatever you are to contribute the last little push in getting that baby out, in getting that Yeshua out, in getting Moshiach out, in getting the whole super success for the whole Klal Yisrael out, that's where we're holding right now. And this is the Nimshal of this Moshal. And this bang, this cannon blast, the Torah says, V'hoyo b'yoyim ha'hu yitoka b'shoifar godol. There's going to be a loud blast that's going to be heard throughout the whole world. What is that blast going to come from? From every single ounce of pain and suffering and crying and working that each and every single Jew went through in Mesiras Nefesh for Hashem, to be a good Jew, to be a success, that's what we're going to see. That blast, that Shofar Gadol, each and every single person who stuck it out is going to have a piece of the action in that Shofar Gadol, in that big blast, in that success. Rabbi Nezal says, V'roi leilech imma shenemar b'maymar azamar lelkai b'yodi. It's highly recommended for a person to always go in the path that Rabbi Nezal described in the Torah Azamar lelkai b'yodi, chapter 282, in the first chelik of Likutei Moran. Dehainu, that is, levakesh ulechapes limtsoi b'atzmoi eze schus v'eze nekuda toivo. To always be able to search within himself and find something good about himself, find something good about his situation, about his predicament. And with that tiny drop of good that he's able to find within himself, in it, through which he could call himself a good person, he should be able to bring himself to happiness and give himself the self-confidence. And don't you dare retreat. Even if a person has fallen to whatever he has fallen, no matter how low, each and every one of us know we're in a predicament right now where we're very, very low. Still, the person should strengthen himself with the drop of good that he knows he still has. You still have a bris milah. Each and every one of us, when we were 8 days old, had the name of Hashem inscribed in us, carved out on us. And the Gemara says that that alone, Avram Avinu stands at the gates of Gehenna, and he's baidek, each person. This guy's got a bris, there's no way he's going in. Because bris is my mitzvah, Avraham Avinu says. And somebody who put his life, who was willing to go on an altar on a mizbeach when he was 8 days old and have this circumcision performed on him, there's no way I'm letting him go through. And which person doesn't have nekudais, points, good points to see in himself? Baruch Hashem, I wear tzitzis. Baruch Hashem, I don't go in a car on Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, for each person has to be able to look to find nekudais taivais within himself. Until by finding these points and using them to fortify himself with, the person will finally be zeche to return to Hashem. As the Gemara testifies in Yuma, daf peivav amid beis, that when the person will do tshuva, every single sin he did will be changed into a mitzvah. Will be made into something beautiful. What kind of sins? The zdainais, the sins that he did on purpose. Bad, nasty, rotten things against Hashem. These things are going to get turned into mitzvahs, into zechuyos, if a person does a real tshuva. Uma also HaBal Shem Tov, Zechet Tzadik Levrocha Hayam, Kishayisise HaBal Dovor. We have the story about the Baal Shem Tov when he was riding on the ocean, when the Sultan tried to make it seem to him like he had lost his whole Olam Haba, there was nothing left for him, and the Baal Shem Tov fortified himself, and he strengthened himself, and he stuck it out, he hung in, and he said, fine, now I'll serve Hashem even better. I'll serve Hashem without any reward. And then suddenly he rocketed to a much, much higher place. In other words, here's an example of a tzaddik who got knocked down. Hashem said to him, you're finished. Hashem said, you just lost everything you've earned so far, out the window, destroyed. And he didn't walk away from Hashem. He didn't give up. He stuck it out, and he became a total success. And from this, each and every one of us has to understand how much we have to fortify ourselves. Ulivli liyayish atzmacho chas v'shalom, and not to dare give up hope. Af im yihye ma sheyiyeh, no matter what happens. Now each time Rabbein Zal inserts a sentence like this, af im yihye ma sheyiyeh, af im nofal ma shenofal, none of us have an excuse. Nobody can say that he's not talking to me. He's talking as straight, as clear as he possibly can in saying, believe me, you're not new, you're not a chiddush, we know how far you're gonna fall and how far you fell, and nobody's spectacular, we're all in the same boat, all of us. The biggest tzaddikim experienced falls, thrown very far down. So if the Sultan's gonna try to convince you that you are different and you are the worst than everything, know that this tzaddik, Rabbi Nachman ben Feiga, put it in writing, that I know exactly what you're going through, what you're gonna go through, and I'm telling you clearly that this is the case, and it's nothing, ignore it, stick it out, you'll be a success. You'll be a very big success. Rabbein Zal stressed it's very, very important for a Jew to always be happy. And he should always be able to bring himself into simcha with whatever he possibly can. Even if at times a person is in a low madrega, for the person at that time to take out a sefer and use that to bring him into simcha, it's not possible. He has fallen to such a low where that won't work. Rabbein Zal says at that point it's a mitzvah for the person to do even a mili d'shtusa, whatever is classified to that person as mili d'shtusa, whether it's playing ball, whether it's watching TV, whatever the item is to the person, as long as it's not an out-and-out sin, as long as it's not going against Hashem, we're saying that usually we say that each and every Jew is obligated 24 hours a day to be doing mitzvahs, to be Torah, Hashem, Tefillah, those things. How would anybody dare give a heter to say that now go play ball? And Rabbi Nassar is saying very clearly that there are times that a person's going to fall into a pit where to tell the person at that time, take out a sefer, or daven even, he can't. It's not possible that minute. At that time, the etzah is, whatever it's going to take you to get yourself out of the sadness, out of the depression, do it. And once you're out of the pit, then we'll discuss religion. We'll discuss Torah, Tefillah, we'll fix you up completely. But at times, Rabbi Nassar implied, you're going to have to resort to mili d'shtusa to be able to pull yourself up. The last is inyone shtus utzchaik oikfitzais rikudin, to do silly things, jumping, dancing, whatever the person has to do, kedei lovei l'simcha, in order to get to simcha, shehu dovor godol ma'oid. This item of simcha is a very, very, very great thing. And interestingly, just today, I happened to be looking for something. Somebody had made a comment about hishtatchus at the graves of tzaddikim, and I wanted to look in the Kisvei Arizal. I know that this item is discussed in the Shaar Ruach HaKodesh. The Arizal discusses this mitzvah of hishtatchus, specifically prostrating oneself on the grave of a tzaddik. And in looking for that, I came across one place in the Kisvei Arizal where the Arizal warned his Talmidim certain things that if you want to be zeichet to come to hasogos of Ruach HaKodesh, of very great success in religion, certain basic, elementary warnings. One of them, simcha. The Arizal emphasized in the biggest way possible, warning that whenever you do a mitzvah, do it with tremendous simcha. What kind of simcha? The Arizal said every single time a person does a mitzvah, he should be able to do it with the same feeling that he would have if he just completed $10 million sale or $100 million real estate deal. That's the exact wording that the Arizal uses. As if he completed what would be considered to him the biggest financially successful deal that he possibly could. And the Arizal says, I'll prove this to you from a pasuk in Chumash. The Arizal says that by the Teichacha in Kisavoy, the pasuk Hashem lists a whole series of curses that are going to befall the Klal Yisrael. And at the end of the whole series of curses, Hashem says, why is all of this going to happen to you? Tachas asher lo yavadeto es Hashem alikecho besimcho ubetuv leivav meiroiv koil. That's the final words. Because you didn't serve Hashem with tremendous happiness and a good heart, meiroiv koil, from the plentiful, complete goodness that Hashem has given you. And the Arizal says that's the key in that pasuk. That the way Hashem wants a person to appreciate a mitzvah, you put on your tzitzis in the morning, you're in your bedroom, you're groggy, you don't know what your name is. If somebody asks your name, you probably get it wrong, or at least half wrong. The second those tzitzis go on, suddenly a bell goes off. $100 million was just put in your bank account in Laumi and Citibank, deposited. You just became the proud owner of $100 million. Now what? And the person suddenly jumps right through the roof, right through the ceiling of the 8th floor, and straight up to the sky. That's for tzitzis. Then he goes to the bathroom, comes out, and makes ashiyotzar. He says a bracha. Again, the same experience, as if he was penniless and he was suddenly told that he had the biggest financial success that he could imagine. Each and every mitzvah, do it this way, you become an Arizal. The Arizal told his Talmidim that this is what made him the Arizal, the author of the deepest Sifrei Kabbalah, the one who was zeichet to learn with Eliyahu Hanavi every day. What made available to him these incredibly high hasogos in Ruach HaKodesh was the fact that when he did a mitzvah, he did it in this way. Halavai, we should be zeichet to take Rabbi Nassar's lessons in this Torah very seriously. And we should be zeichet to be able to weather. Hashem should give us the strength to weather what we have to weather. Each and every one of us is required to daven that Hashem should not give us tests. V'loy lidei nisoyon, we say every morning, we beg Hashem that we shouldn't have tests. But at the same time, we're being told here unequivocally that it's going to happen. There are going to be tests, and it's going to be very difficult at times. We beg Hashem that Hashem should help us to...